All right, now, let's get on with our message for today because we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today as well. So turn to Acts chapter 20. I struggled with what I might preach to you concerning on this day. And I've simply given my message the title, "If I Had My Ministry to Do Over Again, I Would." You could say it another way. If I had my ministry to do over again, I would do the following. That's not where I'm going. I'm going with the topic, if I had my ministry to do over again, I would. Pat reminded me, as she often does, giving me great advice. Now you just remember today that it's not about you. That it's about the one who called me. And I am remembering the Savior today who called me. But I'm remembering a few pieces of advice. One, old pastors, they never die. They just go out to the pasture. Well, I'm not going out to the pasture. True with me, old pastors never die. They just go pastor somewhere else. And that's what I hope to do. Always remember this. As you anxiously await the arrival of your new pastor. A pastor is only as good. Or a pastor is only as bad as the congregation that he pastors. Can you remember that? So that means that the monkey's on you. And you have an equal, if not more, responsibility to make the success of your new pastor a great ministry. And I hope that you will understand that and see it for what it is. As far as Pat and I are concerned, we are not retreating anywhere. Rather, we are advancing in another direction. And the same is true with this church. You're not retreating. I have not taught you that. I've taught you as best I could to stand up, be counted, work hard as you can work diligently for the kingdom of God. You are not in retreat. But rather you are advancing now in a new direction. I am reminded on May the 12th, 1962, the great general Douglas MacArthur went before the graduating cadet corps at West Point on May 12th of that year, and he proclaimed one of the greatest graduation speeches I have ever heard. And he said, "Duty, honor, and country." I would say to you, duty, honor, and service is the banner you must hold above your heads and turn to as you progress in another new and most wonderful direction. He also said many words in that speech, but basically, besides that great speech that Douglas MacArthur gave to the graduating cadets, he said, "You are not finishing your responsibilities now that you are graduating from the academy. You are beginning your responsibilities." And he said, "Some of you will fight in a war and Some of you will die in battle. And that has certainly been the case since 1962. But now you begin. And he said, every time I step on the grounds of this hallowed place and see that long line of gray, I'm reminded of duty, honor, and country. And every time I step on the campus of this great church, I'm reminded of duty and honor and service. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul is getting ready to give his farewell address. And he is leaving Ephesus, and he's already having friends waiting for him at the boat dock, and they are carrying him back to Jerusalem. And there he knows that he will face trial by the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, only to be transported further on to Rome, where he will ultimately lay down his life. And that's why I've selected this passage of Scripture today, beginning with verse 19 of chapter 20. This is what it says. Paul speaking now, but I want to transpose the words of Paul into my farewell address to you. And he says, I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears. And in the midst of severe testing by the plots of the Jewish opponents. But listen to what he says. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you. Let those words resound in your heart this day. I have not hesitated to preach for you, not to you, but I have not hesitated to preach for you the things that would be helpful for you in your preparation for the calling of a new pastor. And he says, I have declared to both the Jews and the Gentiles that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, his farewell address is this. And now, compelled by the Holy Spirit, I'm going. For him, to Jerusalem. And not knowing what will happen to me, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me of the hardships that are before me. And there are plenty of hardships we face in life. But as I said to you last Sunday, hardships, although they're a part of life, they are also a part of the life of those who have already won the victory. And as God's children, that's who we are. We've already won the victory. And however, I consider my life worth nothing in order for me to aim for the finish and to complete the race that the Lord has given to me. I want to speak to you real quickly in three areas. I want to talk to you for just a minute about service with humility and a heart of tears. Let us never forget as a church that we are servants of the Lord, and we do that with humility. A proud and arrogant or condescending Christian accomplishes very little in the kingdom of God. And I know that sometimes, especially those of us who stand behind the sacred desk, often have egos as big as the sanctuary. But once we come down off of our high horse, we realize that our service is a service of humility. Because all may be chosen, but few are called. And without a doubt, all of you have been chosen. For this moment in the history of this church, you sit today among the chosen ones. You have a responsibility, and that service that you do comes with the choosing of the Lord for you to get it done. I have one disadvantage that you do not have. It's time for me to go. Oh, they asked me, and we prayed about it. I'll never forget the phone calls that I received from Danny and the private conversation we had in the conference room and the calls from Tommy and Gina and from others across this congregation. Would you just stay? Would you just be our pastor? And you know, that was a hard, hard thing to turn down. But if I wanted to pastor on, I'd have stayed at Fairlawn. I'd served there for all of those years, and they wanted me to stay on till Jesus comes. But it was time for this old boy to retire and spoil my grandchildren, exactly what I'm doing, and to spend more time with my bride of 46 years, which I'm doing, and give more teaching and instruction to my two godly sons, which I'm doing. And it was tempting, but now I'm going. And the second point that I want to share with you this morning really is highlighted in verse 20 and 21. Paul said, I have not failed, nor have I hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you. And some of you, because of your work schedules and other complicated matters of your life, could not always join us on the Wednesday nights. But I didn't do a Bible study per se. I saw my responsibilities on Wednesday nights as being opportunities for teaching. Teaching valuable things, and without hesitation, I taught some things that I could tell as I scanned the crowd on Wednesday night. Pastor, those are hard words. Those are hard words. But I didn't hesitate. By God's design, to give the words that I felt like that you needed in preparation. And that's what Paul says. I wanted, he said, to be helpful to you. And I wanted, above all, in my help to you, to teach the most important stuff. And that is where I could transfer my Wednesday night teaching to my Sunday morning sermons. That never to forget that my charge to all who come this way is repentance and a turning in faith. You see, repentance, as Paul refers to it here, is both for the Christian person and for the lost person. Now, during the course of my tenure, we haven't seen a great deal of lost people wandering into this church seeking salvation. But they will come. Trust me, they will come. As you have a dynamic new pastor on the field who has a heart to get out into the community and witness to the lost, They will come. And his theme, like mine, has always been repentance. I don't believe. If I have, you can correct me, and I will ask God for forgiveness. I don't think that I have ever stepped out of this pulpit that I did not offer a time of invitation for people to come, for whatever reason. And I pray that you'll never dispense with the invitation. It's not an invitation to come to the preacher. It's an invitation to come broken and contrite before the God who called this church, established this church, and keeps this church. And Paul said, I have not hesitated to teach you repentance. And all that repentance is a turning from one direction to another in an act of faith. But thirdly, to be compelled by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Lord said to his disciples in one of three farewell addresses that he gave to his disciples, I've got to go away. I've got to leave you. But I am committing to you that I will not leave you comfortless. Pat and Brad and I have got to go away now. But I am not leaving you comfortless, as Jesus said. But I am leaving you the Holy Spirit. And Jesus did just that. You see, the predominant moving spirit of this church today and into the future is the moving of the Holy Spirit. May you make a commitment on this day in which I give to you my farewell address. Do not quench the Holy Spirit, but welcome every time you enter this sacred place. Oh, Holy Spirit, come down on your people today and both convict us and challenge us for what you would have us to do. And Paul said, and since I'm going away, and I've got to go. And by the way, as a side note, I've been asked before, which of the many churches Paul both started and pastored did he love the most? Without hesitation, I believe that Paul loved the church at Ephesus more than them all. And the people were first called Christians at that place. And he loved them so, but he said, I must go away. Why? Because I must finish the race that the Lord has set before me. I've got to do that, friends. I don't know when the Lord will call me home. I know that as unworthy as this servant is, he has given me the privilege to go to the mountaintop two times in my life. I went to the mountaintop at a little old place called Fairlawn, Virginia, not Radford. Fairlawn, Virginia. And I went to the mountaintop and I was able to look over and see with great vision what that church was about to do. And they are in the process of doing it well. But as God would have it, as unworthy as I might be, he gave me the privilege again. of going to the mountaintop with you. And I look over it now, and I see things that only we can imagine. And I've been to the mountaintop twice. Just an old rebellious, misbehaving kid who grew up in a little place called Cambria and has allowed me to go to the mountaintop. Verse 28, and I'll close with this, is my and Paul's commission. Here's what he says. Keep watch over yourselves. That means to guard your heart. Guard your attitude. When you feel like doing what I so often do by mistake, open my big mouth and insert not one but two big feet, you guard yourself and don't do it. But let Him be your guide. But then He says, not only watch over yourselves, but watch over the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you a part and an overseer. Look around you today at both the visitors, those that have still yet to unite with this church. Look around you. This is the flock for which He is entrusted to you. You guard it well, because now the responsibility is on you. What can I leave you in conclusion? What I've tried to give you. I leave you God and His word of grace. I leave you the things that will build you up. I ask you to remember what it says in verse 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You walk up to that young pastor from time to time, and if he will let you, and I bet he will, you put your arm around him and say, Pastor, not what I can do for you, but Pastor, what can I be for you? For it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's pray. Oh God, my help in ages past and in years to come. And oh God, the help of this church in ages past and their hope in years to come. Do your mighty work in them, Lord, and do it as only you can. For this is my prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.